Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together. What you know, alibiers? Happy Monday. It's 11:30. I just got done trying to transcribe this full day of testimony or phone recordings and wiretaps, and it's been chaos. But first, really quick song fact. Best-selling album of all time, very appropriate for the month of October, Michael Jackson's Thriller. It has sold 70 million copies worldwide, and I have to say I know the entire Thriller dance, and I actually have a video of me performing it when I worked at the high school. Yes, I do. All right. So can I just say, I grew up in the South, y'all, you know, born and raised here, lived in South Carolina, the deep South my whole life. So we call it speaking banjo when Southern people get on a roll and it just kind of sounds like a banjo, just a bum, bada bum, and you can't understand what people are saying. So there's certain levels of banjo, all right? So people in South Carolina are like here. The Wagners are way up here. I mean, seriously, guys, it is like another language sometimes with a couple. I have to say, Angela was the most understandable, as well as Rita. But man, I'm going to tell you right now, there was some banjo all day. And then you try to decipher that between road noise and banjo and kids playing in the background and then everybody talking over each other. And that's why we're sitting here at 11:23 recording this episode. But it's been a good day. Kind of learned, you know, I've been wondering at what point are we kind of going to see the side of George that the prosecution says. And I think we got a little tiny glimpse today, especially in the first couple of recordings. So they started the day arguing about whether a man from Alaska that employed George when he lived there could testify remotely. So I don't think they came to a decision about it. They're going to talk about it later. They also addressed to the jury to ignore the journalist that was removed on Friday. And the state says, check this out, y'all. They're still having another 2.5 to 3 weeks to go. Then at one point in the middle of testimony, I think Angela said something about 5 weeks. We've got a while. This was a trial originally, they said, would last 30 days. And I laughed out loud and thought, no way. All right, so witness the soul ranger you can see at the top right of the screen, Ms. Julia Evislage. Poor thing. She is just like the star witness of this entire trial, and she's adorable. I really like her. She knows her stuff, and she's learning now to sling it back to Parker on cross-exam, which I love. But hey, you can't knock the defense. They have a job to do, and I think they're doing a good job so far. I give them heck. I give the prosecution heck. But I think from here, maybe we'll start to see that case build gradually against George. They've done a good job keeping everything in chronological order. And I think that's very important in such a complicated case like this, to keep everything on a level where you know how it happened. And so, yeah, I think both sides right now are doing, you know, as good as they can. But all right. So we know Julia helped monitor the interception warrants, the calls, the text, all the running reports that come with that. said they work with the phone companies to get a real-time copy of these communications. It routes information to investigators' computer. So this was done in 2017 and 2018 with the Wagners. It's done in a really secure room, and a small number of people are allowed in. Not everybody can come in and out and take a listen. So there are two types. Number one, there's a body wire, which operates within a very short distance. And then they have the one, their office put in the car. And how they get into these calls is they're alerted when a call or text is being made, and then they have a telephone number they have to call into that kind of connects them in, and they can eavesdrop. I so want to have that job, y'all. I'm not even kidding. So the phones weren't immediately being intercepted on the way home, but they got the warrant for the phones when they got back from Ohio. Some of these take place in Alaska, and most of them do, actually. The audio quality was poor on the way home from the border. It was terrible. I mean, I listened to that maybe for 2 hours to try to get what I could. So they may pop in and out of the conversation, and they only record what's relevant to the investigation. So if they see the conversation is going in a different direction that has nothing to do with the crimes, they stop listening. And so May 5th, 2017, 12:57 p.m., this is a conversation with all four Wagners, and George thinks that Tabitha was at the Montana border interacting with Vine. She was not. Very paranoid. These people are so paranoid, and then they get angry about their paranoia. It is really weird. The first call has to do with George interacting with Bovine, and he's interrogating this kid, and he is scaring the daylights out of this kid. So George says, "Those people at the border are liars." And Bovine says, "No, they're not." George says, "You're not going to stop them, Bovine. They're bad people. The people at the border that you talk to, the ones that fed you, they want to kill you. They want to kill Uncle Jake, your papa, and me for no reason because they're bad people." At this point, poor Bovine, he's crying and saying, "No, no, no." Now, I'm going to tell you, this is maybe not 100% correct in everything that is said, but, you know, we explain this in the first 3 minutes of this episode as to why. Maybe I misheard some few things, but I think for the most part, it's on the same wavelength, I guess you could say. George says, "Yes, they are. You know what they want? The people at the border, they want us all to die. They want to take you away and give you to bad people. They want Suds away. They want to take Suds away and give her to bad people. They're bad people. They stopped us for no reason. They're bad people. Don't listen to what they tell you. They're liars." And I mean, you think about it. He is conditioning this poor kid to not trust a single person that is not a Wagner in that car. It is so sad to hear. This poor kid is very distraught. And the tone that he had with Bovine was super forceful. And it was mean. And if you're 3 years old, it was probably really scary. So, George says, "You understand they want to hurt your family." So they're asking Bovine about a woman at the border, and George said, "Who was she? What did she look like? If I show you a picture, can you tell me if that's her or not? I'm going to show you. Let me know if this woman was at the border or not." "Okay. Okay, Bovine, is that the woman at the border? Is that her? What did she say?" "She wasn't at the border." Angela said, I think they flew her up there. They paid for her ticket, and she means Tabitha. So now Angela's on the paranoia train, and there's something said about a BCI agent being alone with Vine and Sophia, and George keeps saying this, "I'm bringing all hell with me." I mean, he says that like every third sentence throughout this. George said, "She texted me from her husband's phone. That's where she's been texting me." And Angela said, "Her husband's phone? I think he makes a call to Jake. I'm not sure," but George says, "Yeah, I'm bringing all hell with me on this one. The woman is not allowed around him, and they brought her around without my consent. I asked him what about the people at the border were saying, and he said he didn't have a home anymore, and he wasn't going back to his home and his stuff. And I said, 'Vine, if I show you a picture of the people who was at that border, can you show me which ones were talking to you?' And he said, 'Yes.' I showed him pictures, and I said, 'This one there, no. This one there, no.' And when I got to her, he said, 'She talked to me at the border.' Angela says, 'Show him a picture of her.' There was something about visitation. And again, he says he's bringing hell with him on this one. George said, did they tell you not to tell us, Bovine? Don't keep secrets, Bovine. George says, Tabby. And it sounds like Vine repeats the name Tabby. And George says, what's her name? Was her name Tabby? What was her name? And the kid's talking. I can't make it out. It's a very high-pitched, kind of a distraught tone in his voice. George says, was there a girl there named Tabby? Did she get Bovine one of those? I think he said a rub, but I'm not sure, or one of those. And then he said she did. So you're sitting here listening to this. It's so hard. And I mean, the court reporter, everybody, just Julia on the stand, the judge, all look super uncomfortable hearing this. So George yells at Jake something like, I'm bringing hell with me again. And I told the woman, I couldn't understand him. I had it with me in my car. I'm sorry. If she was there, she's going to freaking jail because she broke the George's order. And that ends. And then at that point, Julia just points out who is talking in the car. So you have Bovine, you have Angela, you have George. So then we go to lunch. And then there's arguing. The judge is asking about a transcript for the call. Canepa says it would be a lot to put on the court reporter who's here every day doing this anyway. When they played Billy and Angela, there was a question from the court reporter if there was a transcript. And she said, you know, if providing a transcript helps her, they have one. So Julia made transcripts of these calls, but the judge is not going to allow the jury to see them. The analyst is familiar with the voices, is what Angela says, or Canepa says, but says it may help her. And there's 13 calls in total. So there's lots of back and forth. And she says, hey, if you want to listen to the stuff not relevant, like them disciplining the kids, that's fine. Evidence has to be pertinent. So I'm just going to point out here, we had a whole day of guns and ammo that was not even related to the murders. We had 8 hours of that testimony. May 25th, 2017, 12:57 p.m., a call from George to Jake, which lasted an hour and 8 minutes. Jake is heard saying, hurry up, I need Sudsy. And then you hear a commotion of all them getting in the car. There was an objection to this call. It was not played. So I think they're going to revisit that. June 13th, 2017, 4:46. This is a call from Billy to George. George asks, from George to Billy. And George asks Angela to Google something he's found in his truck. George says, hello. Billy says, hey, what's going on? George said, I need mom to Google something for me. Billy says, do what? He said, I need mom to Google something for me. All right, what is it? Tell her to Google the letter HX plus. Billy said, okay. George says, I need to know what it is. And Billy says, HX plus. Okay, hang on, I'll call you right back. George says, from her cell phone, have her Google it. And Billy says, huh? George says, have her Google it. And I think he says, stay offline. And Billy says, well, she's on the other phone right now with somebody, but if you give me just a second, I can. George says, Google it and call me back. Billy says, are you still on here? George says, I'm here. So Billy says, don't hang up on me. Stay on here. And then he says again, okay, HX plus, remote start. George says, okay, that's what it is. And Billy says, it's got HX plus remote start. George says, well, it's on the top of my truck, and I don't know what it is. Billy says, your truck? George says, yeah. Billy says, well, it says HX plus GPS. What's it look like? George says, it's a little oblong thing with three wires coming out of the back of it. Billy asks, is it hooked up? George says, I don't know. It's in the top of my headliner going down in plastic, and then the wires going into the dash. I don't know where they're going. Billy says, okay, it's a GPS. And then George interrupts and says, it's probably for my stereo or something GPS. Billy said, probably so. That's what it is. George says, okay. All right. Well, I'm waiting on Jake at the auto parts store and he's trying to find a radiator. Billy says, did he find one? And George says, I don't think he has yet. Billy says, all right, well, don't work too hard. Be careful. Okay. George says, all right, love you. Billy says, love you too. Bye. So this switches to a text between Jake and the new owner of the Peterson Road home that they sold before they went to Alaska. The guy's name is Dwayne. This was on June 15th, 2017, 9:37 a.m. Dwayne said, "Hey, I called the sheriff about the Thompson guy, and investigators are at the farm today digging the crap out of the lot behind the barn. Wish someone would let us know what the heck's going on. All they say is they will be done Friday night." 9:40 a.m., Jake responds, "What are they doing?" 9:43 a.m., Dwight says, Jake says, "I don't know what they're looking for, but I know they've harassed us so much that I won't talk to them anymore if they don't have a warrant, and I'd tell them to take a hike." So at 9:50, Dwayne responds, "Joe told me they were looking for bullets. We are there weekends when possible. This is the third time they've seized the property. I just get a courtesy call. They don't need permission." 9:53, Jake says, "What the heck are they?" And then insert offensive R word here. "Ask a lawyer because they need a warrant to search and you could sue them." Then at 10:05, Jake texts and says, "I'm very sorry they're doing that to you guys, but seriously, if you do not give them permission and they don't have a warrant, then they can't do that. You can sue them." At 10:16, Jake texts again, "Did they give you a warrant the first time they searched, or did you give permission? Joe told me they are tearing the place up with a trap hoe. If they are, sue them for destruction of property, because Dwayne, they won't stop until you do, because the family members that are mad at me told them I must have did it and said I did things I did not do. Now they think I did it and won't leave us alone now. If you don't care they're digging, then let them dig. They won't pay to fix it back. They destroyed $20,000 worth of my stuff, caused mental damage to the kids. Don't let them walk all over you." So at 1:16,
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Dwayne says, "They leave the warrants on the kitchen table. We read them when we get there. Didn't expect any of this, but nothing anyone can do." So we switched to a call on June 15th, 2017, 5:44 p.m. Now, there were some pauses in between each time somebody speaks. This is between George and Angela. And actually, George calls Billy's phone. Angela is using it. And they discuss BCI activity on the property after their text with Dwight. George is much more panicked. The panic progresses with each phone call with George. Angela gets a little panicked towards the end too, but Angela says, "Hello." George says, "Hey." Angela says, "Yeah." George says, "Dwayne is texting Jake. Apparently they're down there again today, digging up everything inside the barn, the whole shadoodle." Angela said, "Inside the barn?" She did, y'all. George said, "Jake said behind the barn." Angela said, "Behind what barn?" George says, "Which barn, Jake?" "They're behind the barn digging up everything. They said they'd be done Friday." Angela again, "What barn are they digging behind?" George says, "I don't know." Angela says, "Have they served him with a search warrant?" George says, "Jake just asked him that. They don't have a new one that's recent, up to date. Jake told them to go screw themselves." Angela said, "Well, he needs to talk and ask him and find out if they've supplied a new one every single time they've been down there." And George says, "Hey, every time they come down there on separate days, they have to have a new one." So he's kind of feeding this to Jake, what Angela's saying, because at this time, Jake is texting the homeowner. So we just kind of intercept this call sort of mid-text between Jake and the new homeowner. So Angela said, "Well, he needs to ask him and find out if they've supplied a new one every single time." And George says, Angela says, "Right, I know that. Hey, tell Jake it's important that he find out, because the attorney told me if anything else happens or they do anything else to call him and let him know." George says, "Hang on. They're out there digging with a track hoe and a bobcat, Mom." Angela's like, "Behind what barn?" She's freaking out. And I think later we find out that there was some evidence disposed of in these barns. Jake led BCI and the investigators to him in his proffer. So George asked Jake, "Which ones are they digging behind?" And he said, "We don't know." And then George tells Jake to ask the homeowner. Angela says they've been down there like three times. And George said, ask him if they brought him search warrants every time they've been down there. George says, all right, I'll let you know what they say, Mom. And she says, all right, I love you. So we jump to a call. June 15th, 5:53, George to Billy's phone, which Angela has. Angela says, hello. George says, hey, Jake asked Dwayne about the search warrant thing. And he said, each time they call him and say they don't need permission or warrants or anything, they're doing it anyway. And Angela said, did he tell them that was okay? And George says, I don't know if he did or not. And he's talking to Jake. Did he tell them it was okay for them to do it? Then he goes back to Angela. Jake don't know, but he said all he got was a courtesy call of him saying next. I couldn't tell what he said. I tried for 20 minutes, y'all. But he didn't get a yes or no, but they didn't give him a warrant. Now, if I remember correctly, and y'all can let me know if I'm misremembering, but I'm pretty sure the BCI agent said that the property owner was cooperative with them. So I think maybe he's kind of keeping Jake and George sort of at bay. I'm sure anybody with half a brain knows three searches on that property that are very invasive, they're onto something. So I really do think that this homeowner was appeasing the Wagners and playing a little bit kind of offended that this is happening, but I'm just guessing. Angela says, what the heck do they think they're looking for? And George said, I don't know, but you need to tell the attorney that they went down there and searched without a warrant. Angela says in the background, give me the other one, Bofine. Give me the other one. I'm going to tell you, these kids are always obviously right beside her. They're in every single call she's on, which is kids. Mine were that way too. I still can't talk in peace, and I have teenagers and an 11-year-old. So Angela says, I'm going to George. He's out of the office today. Angela said, how long is he going to be there? George said, apparently they told Dwayne they'd be done Friday. Angela said, what's today, Wednesday? The defense objects. But at this point, you kind of hear panic in Angela's voice. She's talking really fast, really high-pitched, really animated. So I think learning that this is number three, they're not going to be done this day. You know, I think when you know you're guilty of something, you constantly live in fear of that moment when the walls come tumbling down. And I think they're in Alaska. They're sort of 4,000 miles away from it all, so you have that separation. But at the same time, they're super paranoid. So George says Thursday they're going to be done, or today's Thursday. Angela said, when did they start? George asked Jake, when did they start? Yesterday? He says, I guess yesterday, Mom. Angela said, and which barn are they digging behind? George said, do you know which barn they're digging behind, Jake? And to Angela, he says, he hasn't said yet. And Angela says, okay, look, I got to take these kids. And then it stops because apparently they do stop when it seems like anything pertinent has ended and it goes to just normal conversation. So June 15th, same day, 2017, 6:25 p.m., George calls Billy. George is more panicked in this one, I think. He's very animated, very voice kind of shaky at times too. Billy says, hello. George says, hey, I need to talk to Mom real quick. Billy says, she's down at the pool with the kids. Are you going to be there a second? I'll have her call you back. And at this point, his voice is quivering. He says, no, you can just tell her they've been down there three times, and each time they called Dwayne and gave him a courtesy call saying they didn't need permission to be down there. Billy says, that's BS. George says, right. Well, I don't think they got a search warrant, so I don't think the judge would give it. The last time they were there, they didn't find anything. And Billy says, yeah. George said, and I think that's why they're doing it there and not at Granny's. And Granny told them to take a hike afterwards, basically, and the judge won't give them a search warrant. And down there, see, Dwayne don't live there. And they think they can get away with just saying, we don't need it. And Dwayne won't come from Cincinnati to tell them to take a hike. So Granny is Frederica. Remember, they searched Flying W Farms, didn't find anything really there at all related to the murders. Billy says, yeah. So then this Dwayne guy, this is not his full-time residence. They bought this place. They come down on the weekends if they can. George says, but they told Joe they were searching for buried firearms and buried bullets. And Billy says, idiots. George says, yeah, they got a backhoe and a bobcat down there digging up everything. Billy says, where are they digging at? George says, all around the barn by the house, all around the backside of the house, all through the, I think he said the hog lots and the hog huts. But y'all, I'm Southern, but I ain't that Southern. I don't know nothing about hogs. So Billy says, well, there's enough crap down there to keep them busy. George says, yeah, I know. They're digging all around the garage. We had half built where we had all that new, I think he said fill raised up or till. They're digging all of it. They're a bunch of idiots, but that's okay. This here that they're doing, all this without a search warrant and everything, we'll tell the attorney that, and all them people on Facebook walking all over that place and all over them barns saying that they must be guilty. Who's to say what them people don't put down there? And Billy says, yeah, and I have in parentheses, speaks banjo in a mumble, which means there was no deciphering. So essentially what George is alleging is that people are coming on that property now that they're gone and they're being nosy and they're looking around for stuff. Billy says, I know it. George says, what they're doing is a load of crap, and I don't know why they even think they'll get away with this. Billy says, I know it, but anyway, I love you. And George says, all right. So June 15th, 2017, 6:36 p.m., George to Billy's phone, Angela answers. George and Angela discuss interaction with Border Patrol in reference to guns and ammo. George says, Angela says, okay, well, that didn't work out too well. Did you get the pictures of the house I showed you? George says, no, I did not. Angela said, well, okay, never mind. I'm going to take a look at one today and we'll probably, well, that's going to be the one we take. George said, that's fine, but I think this is George. Maybe this is Border Patrol. Was not made clear. It says, I got x-ray vision, but you're good to go. Have a nice day. Angela says, hold on. George was speaking banjo that was like another language, couldn't understand it, and said he's got to asking about grandma, though. We sold it off before we left. And now it's time for a word from our paid sponsor of the week, BetterHelp Therapy Online. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Everyone deserves to feel their best, and BetterHelp makes it easier to get started. As the world's largest therapy service, they've matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. All the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with the therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% on your first month at BetterHelp.com/whattheworld. That's BetterHelp.com/whattheworld. They've helped me out. Been a rough year for me. Grateful for their service and the convenience to be able to do it from home. And now it's time for a word from our paid sponsor of the week, Everly Well. Take action today for a healthier tomorrow with Everly Well. Their at-home lab tests and vitamins and supplements can get you the knowledge and support you need so you can become a healthier you. Everly Well is digital healthcare designed for you at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home lab tests, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you to get the answers you need, like the women's health test or food sensitivity test. Everly Well also has high-quality vitamins and supplements to support your overall health. Choose from a variety of options, including vitamin D3 and omega-3 fish oil. Here's how it works. Everly Well ships products straight to you with everything needed in one package. To take your at-home lab test, simply collect your sample and use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to a certified lab. Your physician-reviewed results get sent to your phone or device in just days, and you can share the results with your primary care physician to help guide the next steps. If you ordered vitamin supplements, you can start adding them to your daily routine right away. It's really simple. Over 1 million people have trusted Everly Well to support their health and wellness goals, and you should too. I took the food sensitivity test, learned some of the foods I love were not so good for me. For listeners of Pretty Lies and Alibis, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/whattheworld. That's everlywell.com/whattheworld for 20% off your next at-home lab test. Everlywell.com/whattheworld. It's literally what he said, y'all. Angela said, what? No, I didn't get that. And I'm like, me neither, Angela. Can you repeat that, George? George said, did you hear me? And Angela's like, no. George says, we told him we didn't have any guns or ammo because we sold them all before we came up, so we wouldn't have them on the border. Angela said, right. George said, and we told him me and Jake didn't feel American anymore because we didn't own any. And he said, that's no problem. Just stop on the token exit and buy one. And Angela said, oh, that's what he told you. George says, yeah. Angela says, oh, okay, well, listen. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go. You and Jake stop at that restaurant and you get something good to eat, okay? George says, we'll be there around 11:30 to midnight-ish. Tell Vine and Sophie I got them a present. I will. Vine misses you badly. George says, I know Jake broke 5 times on this trip. Angela said, I know that. Anyways, but listen, Vine, he's been pretty good. He's had his moments, but he's been pretty good. But Sophie, oh my God, don't even tell Jake, because when he gets here, if he hears, I guarantee he's going to bust her butt. George said, why? Oh, she's been bad. I mean, acting bad. George says, what did she do? Angela says, oh, just everything under the sun. Angela said, did her daddy hear you? Is Jake near you? And George said, yes, why? And Angela's like, she wants to say hi to you. And it cuts off. June 15th, 9:12 p.m., Jake to Angela. They're discussing property Angela toured for the family in Kenai, Alaska. 4 acres without neighbors. It will be rented in George's name and his credit. Angela says, hello. Jake says, hey. Angela says, yeah. Jake says, have you looked at the house yet? She's super excited in this call, y'all. Like, every worry she has about BCI agents busting up on their old properties, gone. She said, yes, we move in this Saturday. They are talking over each other, and Jake's like, is it nice? We move in this Saturday. Is it nice? We move in this Saturday, except it's all congealed together. She said, yes, it's nice and no neighbors. Jake said, is it a house trailer or a, I have no clue what he said, y'all. Angela said, it's a house trailer, but they built over it. It has a full basement underneath of it, but it looks immaculate. They're still remodeling it. They're finishing up the remodeling in the basement. It's a big full basement with a big wood stove, fireplace downstairs, and 4 acres. We're going to buy it at the end of the year on finance. Jake said, okay, it's got 4 acres. And she says, yep. Can we put the vehicles on it now? Jake asks. Angela says, yep. Jake says, okay. Angela says, listen to me. It's 18 miles in Kenai. It's 18 miles from, I think she says, Soldotna. It's 18 miles to Fred Meyer, the grocery store. Right there, right off the Kenai Spur Highway, and it takes 18 minutes to get out there. And on that road, on Melody Lane, there's only 2 people.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
There's you and a welding shop across the road. So if you're on Google, I mean, if you're on YouTube, I pulled up a Google map to show you this intersection. Okay, by the way, this is me. Literally, my daughter was out of school today, and she snapped this picture of me trying to listen to these wiretaps with both of my HomePods pressed to my ear to try and decipher. And then I moved to the AirPods, which I pressed into my ear with my fingers. I'm half deaf, and I feel like I've got a double ear infection. And also, at this point, the judge, look at everybody in this picture, y'all. I'm going to put these in the link in the description. This is like 5 hours into this. I'm not even kidding. The judge is just like, you know, the court reporter, poor Julia. We can't see Canepa. She's got her back to us, but I just thought it was pretty funny. This is the house that they actually moved in. For some reason, I thought it was red, but maybe not. So just wanted to show you those things. All right. So there's a welding shop across the road, Angela says, and Jake says, ooh, a welding shop. And Angela says, yep. Jake says, okay. Angela said, I mean, it's nice, Jake. It's 3-bedroom, 2 baths, big, nice kitchen so they can have their, you know, family meetings, I guess. It's really nice on the inside, big, full basement underneath it so the kids can play. They're drywalling and painting it right now, and it's like a TV room. There's an outside door going to it. It's nice. It's flat ground. And there's a cutted tree down as you turn in the driveway, and that's how you know you're there. Jake said, okay, so when we get there tonight, do you want tomorrow to go get the paint for the kids' rooms? Angela says, well, we have to go tomorrow evening at 6:30. We have to put it in George's name, but I've put all of our names on it, but it's going in George's name. They're going to run a credit check there in 10 minutes, but there's nothing wrong with George's credit. but we already got it as long as he don't got no delinquents on his credit, which we know he doesn't for a fact. It's $975 a month. I got to give him $2,500 down and we can have the dogs. I have to pay him a $250 deposit to have the dogs when we get money to ship them up here so we can have the dogs. There's plenty and enough room for them. So tomorrow evening, we have to be out there at 6:30. He wants to meet everybody and get a copy of George's driver's license, and we're going to pay him. The electric and stuff is already on. I just got to call them tomorrow and get it put in George's name, and we'll be ready to move in on Saturday. So June 15th, 9:47 p.m., Angela and Jake, they discuss a vehicle believed to be driven by a BCI agent following the boys. I'm going to tell you, all I think is that they freaked some poor woman out in the car and she sped to get away from them. Jake says, hey, I'll tell you what, though, our trucks are filthy. There's a car that's not. The car had a woman driving it with no luggage in the car, except it could have been in the trunk, but there was a car with no luggage. Angela says, aha. Jake said, yeah, so about that, it was BCI. Angela said, probably. Did he just drive by you? Jake said, she passed us. We kind of pulled over on the top of a hill, kind of slow pullover so she could get around. Kind of like a courtesy to her. And the way she went around, she just boom, just out, boom, out. Then she also didn't have tags. And it's like a dragon awakens inside my truck's engine. And yeah, we took off like a rocket. I don't know how my truck even did it. Just took off like a rocket. I was going 70 uphill and we was catching up. And I kid you not, Jake says, quiet, I'm on the phone. Anyway, so we're starting to catch up and it was maybe 90 to 100 yards from her and she floored it and she went like a rocket. Angela said, wow. Some poor woman thought these two dudes in a truck was chasing her is all it is. And she's like, I'm about to be on forensic files. So she floored it. Paranoia. Jake said, she escaped. I don't even know where she went. She escaped and it was rough ground and I was gone. Angela said, oh gosh. Well, anyway, it probably was. Jake, they're wasting 10 tons of money. Jake said, oh, I know what they're doing. I know why BCI. I know why she's here. And Angela says, why? Why? Jake says, they're searching until tomorrow down there at the farm. That way, if they found something, she's right here to nail us. Angela says, true. Jake says, I know what they're thinking. Angela says, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if anyone's been following us or not. Every once in a while, you see crazy people. Jake says, hold on, Mom, okay? Angela says, anyway, are you guys okay? I know your truck is messing up. You all right? Jake said, oh, truck's messing up. Angela says, well, you had a few issues with it, but other than that, are you okay? Okay, y'all, between the banjo talk and the road noise and the fact that this is about cars and you might as well be speaking Greek to me, I will decipher this as best I can. Jake says, the radiator explodes. What do we do? Mechanic error and the fan clips caught the wire and they drifted together. And then all those bumps out there, the vibrations caused the power steering components to fall off. I think I got that. Maybe not. Angela says, well, I got your new parts for you. They came in today, so I picked them up. I got them in the hotel room. Jake said, okay, what all did you get? Angela said, an air conditioner, condenser, and the new save clutch fan. How do you say it? And Jake said, okay, I told George to tell you not to get the AC condenser because we don't need air condition. Angela says, well, you can take it back. I got the receipt. June 16th, 1:01 a.m., this is George and Angela. They are discussing the rental property that will be in George's name. Angela says, hello. George says, hey, sorry, lost service. Angela says, it's all right. George says, anyways, that guy there said, like up here where he's at, there's no building permits, no nothing. You can build what you want. There's no inspections, no nothing. Angela says, oh, well, anyway, where are... She says, where are we getting this house at? I'm putting it in your name. Where we are out there, it's no one on that road except a welding shop. George said, yeah, Jake told me that. Let me ask you something. Is it close enough to town to run a B&B on it? Angela says, probably. George said, you said there's 3 acres, didn't you? And Angela said, no, there's 4. George said, 4? Okay, well, we can like knock one acre off of it off the far corner after we buy it. Angela said, well, here's how this works. She won't sell it to us. She wants to sell it for owner financing at $180,000, okay? And George says, yeah. Angela says it's nice, and the reason she's doing it is because she can't get anybody. They called it a morphodite house, and the guy that does her work for her, George says, yeah, well, They just built over the house and trailer and everything. Built over it like we did, George said. Angela said, yeah, except here's the thing. It looks like you built a real nice cedar house with the cedar siding that lays on its side, you know? It looks like you built one of those, except for some crazy reason, they didn't go all the way to the end of the trailer. It's real easy to cover up, George says. Does it have, I think he says swings outside of it? Angela says, it looks like you built a soiree house. They went way up. It's got a full basement underneath of it, and it's actually livable like a room. And then she says, Bovine, stop it. But they let the house go. They got a lease in, and they're going to finish covering it up, and they just never got to it. A couple of people have tried to get loans, and the way they did it, I guess, because they did it that way, the bank won't loan them, so it's owner finance. She's had several people say that's what they wanted to do, so here's what she wanted us to do. I leased it for a year, so we're going to rent it for a whole year. At the end of that year, if we still want it, we don't want to leave, which we won't because it's perfect for us. She wants 25% down, then she come down to 15%. But she said she would work with us if we want at the end of the year, so she'll probably only want like 10% down. We have to give her a $1,000 deposit, and that comes off your down payment later. Angela says, everything will be fine. George says, I'll go drive up to Toke once I get my license changed and address changed. You know how Vine has his camo gun? She says, yeah. George said, I have to buy another camo gun for him, but they sell a little cricket up there at that gun store in Toke. But it looks like a Navy SEAL sniper rifle. It's got the military-grade camo stock, little 40-barrel extended length. It's a cricket, but it's a modified cricket. Angela says, hey, let me talk to Jake for a minute, and I'll call you back. George said, okay, just wanted to tell you we'll go buy it for him. Angela says, all right, I love you. So June 16th, 7:48 p.m., Rita calls George's phone with Angela using his phone. Rita tells of evidence BCI presented to her. Rita said, he also told me also what I was going to say, had witnesses on, oh yeah, and you notarized a paper was my name like I told you you could in 2014 in case Hannah ever died, or case of death, Sophie would go to Jake. On the bottom of the paper, it was printed off in April. Remember George told you about that and we said we couldn't remember it and that's when you went over there? And Hannah stopped by and they backdated it because they forgot about needing it done and everything. So it was just backdated. They said it was written big and I thought Hannah wrote big, didn't she? Angela said, right. So you can tell Angela's nervous here because her mom's telling her what BCI agents have talked to her about. Angela's very hesitant in this one. Rita said, well, they got a picture of Hannah and Hannah was supposed to have written her name and it's written small. And the handwriting don't look nothing like the one that says her name on that paper. Hannah never did write small. That's what I thought. But he said that the bottom of that paper was just printed out last year. Angela says, yeah, and what did you tell him? Rita said, I said, I don't know when that paper was printed out, but I do know that I notarized that and Hannah was there and Hannah signed it. Angela said, okay, well, anyway, that call ends. June 19th, 2017, 3:20 p.m. This is Rita to Jake. She calls to discuss that BCI press release about the Wagners. If you remember, it was if you've had any interactions with cars, weapons, ammo, to contact them. She called Jake's phone. Angela answered, by the way. Angela suggests Rita and other family members call the tip line about the Manley family and insurance money. So Rita calls Jake's phone. Angela answers. She says, Mom? Rita says, yeah. Angela says, don't get upset. I'm not really upset myself. I'm going to tell you something. You know what you can do? I can't do because I got an attorney. But what you can do is you can call that tip line and you can tell them, and this is a very conniving voice. It switches. That we didn't do it and that you're my mom and that you know what they're doing and they need to stop because they're deliberately trying to ruin our lives. Rita says, now, who am I supposed to call? Angela says, the tip line that's on there, you can do it. You can call there. Mickey can call in there. It doesn't have to be a bad tip on bad stuff. It can be a tip on you telling them you know what they're doing and that Leonard Manley is a greedy old man that just wants money from Sophie. That's what he wants. He wants Sophie so he can get the $50,000 and he wants the money because Chris used to pay his bills and there's no money left for him. They're freaking poor people, and I'm not picking on them, but they're all white trash. They live in trailers and they're filthy, disgusting, and they live up a creek, which is a creek. And if they had Sophie, they'd get all her inheritance money, which is $50,000 or more. Rita is totally convinced of all this, and she says, oh my goodness. Angela said, and that's what they want, because the ones that are doing this, they got the other three kids. If they get this one, they get the whole couple $100,000. So that's the one who's done it, the ones who's got the other kids. They're in a little group together. Angela says, I didn't do this. I'm waiting on my attorney to call me back and make a statement to the press and end this. They dug up my whole entire farm down here and dug it up with a backhoe and stuff, and they didn't find anything because there's nothing down there to find. And now they're doing this so we can't find jobs and we won't have money, and they didn't do their job right. She's getting really exasperated at this point. There are 4 to 5 other people who look guilty. I'm not saying that they are, but it wasn't Jake's fault. Sophie wasn't there. She's talking about the night of the murders. There's proof she wasn't there because Hannah brought her there, and BCI has the proof. Rita says, I know they do, babe. I know it. If he has enough proof the way he claimed he would have arrested all of you, but he can't because he don't have nothing to arrest you with. And Angela says, yes, but he's ruining us, Mom. Our lives have been ruined. Poor, poor me. Rita says, I know it. Angela says, I got to call my attorney, but you can get Mickey and Randa and Chris to try to get a different last name. But anybody who knows you can get Dad, Jacob, Annie to call in. Anybody you know, they can call in and tell them, Mom, our neighbors, they swore. Our neighbors hated us, and we talked to them before we left, and they all stood up for us, every one of them. They said there's no way. They're profiling wrong. It couldn't have been us. Rita said, it's obvious if you listen to them talk. They stutter over themselves. Angela said, the tip line on that news thing, I can give it to you if you need it. You guys can call. Get as many people as you can to call. And Rita said, how do I get that number? Then she says, let me get a pencil. And then she says, you got it? So then it goes over to Jake. And Jake gives her the number. He said, it's the tip line. There may be a BCI operator. Rita says, well, I'll call and tell them they need to retract because that's not right. Jake says, okay, well, I'm going to try and figure something out. Rita says, you guys take care and be careful, all right? June 20th, 2017, 5:50 p.m., George and Angela discuss BCI visiting Mama Rita. Angela says, hello. George says, hey, I can't get a hold of Chris. I tried Brandon's phone. I'm sorry, this is... George and Angela, I'm not sure if I said that. George says, hey, I can't get a hold of Chris. I tried Brandon's phone. It went straight to voicemail. I guess they ain't got no service. Mama says she got a hold of him and she would tell him. Angela said, I talked to her too and I tell you about it when you get here. I don't want to talk about it over the phone. George said, did they do something else with Mama? Angela said, yeah, they were down there today. Brian and Jeffrey and that fat chubby guy. George says, they didn't talk to her again. Angela said, they went down there. I tell you when you get here. When are you going to be home? George says, I'll come home before I get this stuff at the store. Angela like flips out. Oh, please, George, honey, don't. Are you telling me you ain't been to the store yet? George says, no, Mom. I was just going to have a, it sounds like he says a beer run, but I couldn't make it out. Angela said, well, just go get the stuff at the store, okay? George says, it's pouring down the rain. Angela says, whatever, it's okay. George says, I'm just going to come home and then the stuff Jake can get from Walmart. Angela said, why would you do that? That's a waste of gas. And George says, it's a waste of what? A shot glass full of fuel? Angela says, I got to go, George. George says, all right, bye. June 20th, 7:05, Jake calls Randa, which is Chris Newcomb's partner. We know Chris is Angela's half-brother, 20 years younger. Coolest dude. Jake calls Randa to remind Chris he's not required to talk to law enforcement. Randa says, hello. Jake says, hey, Randa, it's Jake. Randa says, yeah. Jake says, hey, tell Chris, and this goes to you too. Well, Chris, Mama called BCI. Mama called. BCI called her again just to remind Chris by law he's not required to talk to any authorities without a warrant. Randa says, okay. Jake said he can do what Uncle Danny did. They wanted to ask him some questions, and he cussed him out and told them to get off his property. And that's exactly what he did. If he wants, he can tell them to quit harassing the whole family, including us, and make sure he uses the word harass because that's what they are doing. Randa says, okay, I will. Jake says, but other than that, they were looking for Chris to talk to them, to him. And Randa says, yeah, they were. Jake says, okay, well, yeah, tell him he doesn't have to talk to them. It's probably better if he didn't. Randa says, okay. Jake says, but anyway, I got Banjo in parentheses, couldn't understand him. Randa says, sorry, I didn't answer call earlier. My phone was dead. I had to help Nikki out. Jake said, that's okay. Anyway, tell Chris that me and George got our license changed today and I failed my test the first time. It's a written test. I failed it. It was hard questions. It was about alcohol and I know nothing about alcohol, so I failed. But anyway, I got a couple of phone calls to make, so I'll call you guys later. Okay, Randa? She says, bye. July 15th, 8:58, George and Chris Newcomb, his uncle, like his brother. George calls to tell Chris to not to talk to George about George or Jake to anyone anymore. George, you hear him scream, Bovine, be quiet. He says, hey, can you do me a big favor? Anyone mentions anything about me or Jake, don't talk to them about us anymore. Can you hear me? So they dropped this call because Chris told George to call the landline. So this is the new call. Picks back up. George is telling Vine, don't shoot it. I'll take it away. Chris says, what am I shooting? I love that dude. George says, not you. I was talking to Vine. Don't talk anything about us or what's going on or the stuff I told before I left and stuff. Nobody. Chris is like, what are you talking about? George says, Randy went down there and talked to my grandfather and told him he was helping you with that truck and wanted to know where all the guns and ammo was that me and Jake sold before we left. Chris said, he asked me about your papaw having all those guns and I have no idea if he sold them. George said, well, he told Papaw that you told him me and Jake sold them and you wanted to know where he went. Chris said, no, Randy only asked me about those guns your Papaw has, those little rusted up things. George said he was trying to get Papaw to tell him where all them was that me and Jake sold before we left. I don't know why the heck he wants that unless he's trying to get that freaking reward, which he ain't going to get because BCI left that money. Chris said, no, the only thing he asked me about was your grandpa. He didn't ask nothing about you. George says, Papa said he told them that he was asking you about it and you told him to ask, and there's Banjo. George says, Papa says he told him, oh, I'm sorry, I just said that. Chris said, no, that's the only guns he had was them old guns your grandpa had back there forever. They were so rusted up and useless. I think George says, yeah, the ones that we used to shoot, that we wouldn't even shoot. Chris said, yeah, those ones. He had a big bunch of ammo. George said, if they ask you anything, just say, I don't know. Chris says, yeah, that ain't no problem. So that's all from the 2017 warrants that were selected to be heard, at least today, I guess. So we go to the laptop, and it had hundreds of thousands of images. This is the laptop they seized at the border, along with an iPad mini. And so those were from current Apple devices and also backups of past iPhones. The old iPad was used by Hannah Mae when she lived with them. They found 1,300 screenshots of Facebook communications, 300 plus screenshots of Hannah Mae's communications on Facebook Messenger from July 2015 to April 21st, 2016, that is literally the evening the murders begin. Screenshots of searches within the messages for Wagner's name. So they're searching within those private messages between Tabitha and Tess and Hannah Mae for the names Angela, Bovine, any name associated with the Wagner family. There were screenshots of Hannah Mae's profile, her posts, her pictures, some of Corey Holdren's, other Roden family member posts. They show screenshots of the messages we read, which is blurry here, but it's the very bottom one where Hannah Mae says, they'll have to kill me first. That message was sent, I won't sign papers ever. It won't happen. They'll have to kill me first. That message was sent at 8:38 p.m. The screenshot was at 9:16 p.m. that same night. So then we have search engines. There was April 3rd, 2016, shortly before the murders, 11:24 p.m. Forms for a declaration of guardian in the event of my death. Those were printed the same day. Also on the next day, the 4th, 12:39 p.m., sample form for guardianship in case of my death in Ohio. They have Jake's old iPhone backups. So on April 4th, 2016, there's a search for a solvent catcher. And so I looked it up, and these traps themselves are legal, but converting them into a silencer without approval from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is illegal. Then on April 8th, 2016, 6:26 p.m., there are two searches for a Colt 1911-22, which we know is the murder weapon Jake used. Various searches for Alaska stuff on the 8th of April, the 13th, 14th, and the 17th of April. So the night of the homicides, 11:06 p.m., there's a Google search for Boondock Saints 2 Ding Dong Scene. Y'all, they play it. And I know it's not funny, but it's the clip, and there's a knock at the door. Somebody opens, the brother shoots the person, and the dad says, "Ding dong, MFers, ding dong." And it was kind of fun. I mean, the scene's funny, but not in the context that they're using it in. And I was so surprised that they played it. And the judge kind of was like looking really uncomfortable. There were Google searches related to the homicides after the murders. So let's go through them. April 23rd, Pike County, Ohio press release. They searched for that again. Same day, Pike County, Ohio News, Pike County, Ohio News. The same day on the 23rd, Bruce Daly, Waverly, Ohio. That is, I believe, Jake's custody attorney. Then the same day on the 23rd, now this is the day after the bodies are discovered, Children's Services, Adams County, Ohio. May the 3rd, 2016, Pike County murders. Again on the 7th, Pike County murders. July 29th, 2016, Jake Wagner. August 6th, 2016, Victims of Violent Crimes Fund. No shame, y'all, no shame. August 7th, 2016, Jake Wagner on Topics. August 7th, Corey Holdren. August 7th, Hannah Roden. So they also show a photo of Jake's gun, the Colt 1911-22, taken on January 31st, 2015. This is the gun that we believe was used in the murders. And then they show a picture of his hand holding that gun. So cross-exam, I didn't take a lot of notes. Number one, I was tired. Number two, it really just wasn't a lot of relevant stuff. But it says, those two images we just saw, the guns, you're saying that's the exact same gun? And she said, it seems to be a light fan. Or he said, it seems to be a light fan collared metal. Is that true? She says, I think color is open to interpretation. It's subjective. The defense says, the color is similar to the beige carpet. And she fires back and says, yeah, but the second picture's outside in sunlight. It can have an effect on the color. So would you agree the color appears different? And she said it could be attributed to being outside versus inside. I love it, Julia. You go, girl. Yes, queen. So the defense says, you said this is Parker, by the way. You said this morning you were in Montana at the border. What was your function? She said, we went to provide analytical support for the interviews. And he's like, so what do you mean? She said, we had access to intelligence from cell phones and texts that may be important. They had listened to all the conversations. So they were able to kind of brief the people doing the interviews on things that they may want to ask. It's a pretty simple concept. Defense wasn't grasping it. The defense says when they are being interviewed, that's when the listening devices were installed. And she said, that's my understanding. He said, two listening devices, one a body wire and the other was that on constantly. She said, I don't know. I don't have access to that right now. The defense says, was that different than what you brought to Ohio from Ohio to be installed? She said, I don't know the specifics. He says, did you listen to items from the body wire or how long was it in the vehicle? She says, I don't know a timeline. The defense says, this recording from this morning, you know he was in there for 5 hours. And she says, my understanding, it wasn't the same day. So, yeah, she was right. According to her documents, they were stopped on the 21st. This conversation was May 25th. So then he wants the entire call to be played for the jury. And they broke for the day because that's just a whole other fight they didn't want to get involved in. So that's all from today, y'all. Sorry it's so late, but, you know, it took a hot minute to decipher all the just banjo deliverance. Like, yeah, just look, I ain't knocking because I live right in the thick of it here. But all the other obstacles in the way were just, I don't even, those first, I imagine it would be really hard for the jury to follow along this morning. It was hard to hear from what I heard people in the courthouse. The other thing I think, though, is that we see a different side of George in this, because their stance is that George knew nothing until the phone call came the next morning after the murders. And that George wasn't there. He was oblivious. But you really hear the panic, because if you really didn't know something, you'd say, man, these people are just like digging up our property for nothing. Yeah, we didn't do anything. Why would you be worried of BCI agents trailing you? Because you know you did something. You know you were somewhere where bad things happened. And I don't think George pulled the trigger on anybody, but I do think that Jake will testify, as we've heard, that he helped drag Chris Sr. and Gary's body with Billy. So I think today you see this really mean side of George to his son, who's very little. You hear the effect on the kid. And then you also wonder about what goes on when things aren't being recorded and you're not in a car and you're in the house. And so anyways, I think it's kind of taints George a bit. And then you just see that panic about the searches. So hopefully the prosecution builds from here. And I think Jake's testimony is going to be very powerful. It's just going to kind of come down to how credible does the jury think Jake is. And I don't think Jake has any reason to lie at this point. I don't think he lied when he confessed. I think that, you know, apparently he found Jesus in prison, as a lot of people do. But for whatever reason, I do think that Jake probably just came clean. And if you watch that video of where he's confessing, when they mention Hannah Mae's name, a lot of people think he smirks. But I'm going to tell you, I have a very unpopular opinion. I think he has a nervous thing going, and they handed him a tissue. And I have no sympathy for the guy. I mean, you can bury him under the jail for all I care. But, you know, I do think that a lot of people thought he just laughed. I really do think it was a nervous thing. And I think he was trying not to cry. So if you haven't watched that confession, just really fast forward it to where he stands up, because that's kind of the most important stuff. He does turn and apologize to the family. But, hey, an apology is not going to bring back 8 human beings that you took from their whole family and their children, and just terrible stuff, y'all. Crazy trial. I don't think we're near done. This may end up and take me to the Murdaugh trial, because I'm going to do the same thing that I'm doing for this, for his double murder trial, now that Vallow Daybell has been postponed at least till September, October next year, if we're lucky. Jesus may sound the trumpets before that trial gets underway, but fingers crossed, sooner than later. All right, guys, have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow with a new recap. Hopefully no banjo. I'm banjoed out.